Hi, this is Matt Grant, and you're listening to the Malware Report with Randy Abrams. Hi, Randy.
Hi, Matt. It's good to be back here.
Fantastic to have you. Well, you know, I wanted to get your thoughts. I read an article recently about thousands of websites that have been stung by a mass hacking attack. They're saying more than 40,000 websites that have been hacked. Can you tell us a little bit more? Are you familiar with this particular attack?
Yes, I'd seen the reports on this, and it's a pretty significant attack. Not only is it 40,000 plus websites, but they pretty silently attempt to infect the computers of people that visit them with other malicious software. And the site's called beladen.net, which I found out actually translates to loaded in German. And so, yeah, it is a pretty loaded website. It's actually using about 20 different vulnerabilities and browser plugin attacks that target older insecure versions, again, of third-party applications, not even necessarily Windows, but things like QuickTime and WinZip. So, you know, people out there are using old versions of applications, which many people use. It's a really, really good time to go out to the vendor's website and check and see if there's security updates or new versions and get with the newer software.
Interesting. Yeah, the report that I was reading, I guess, mentioned that the sites were redirecting to a fake Google Analytics website, which then was redirecting to another bad site. I guess, was this the only site then that it was redirecting to, or were there multiple sites that it was redirecting to?
I think it was just contacting this fake Google Analytics site, which is spelled a little different than the real Google Analytics site. And that site was then, I think it was another site that was redirecting to the Beladen site. I don't think
right.
The Google Analytics itself, which isn't really Google Analytics, instead of
right.
an I, you know, they've got another character in there and it's
yep.
entirely different. But I haven't dug into it enough to know exactly what the point of contacting the GoogleAnalytics.net is, other than I know it's not a site that people want to visit. It's not a good thing right now. But it checks the name of the referring website. So the bad guys are actually doing tracking to find out what's working, because it's recording the date and timestamp of the visit, and then the victim is forwarded to the Beladen site, and then that's where all the exploitation of the browser vulnerabilities is occurring from.
So, I mean, this just seems like it really underscores the success that some hackers have had with hosting dangerous code on poorly secured websites. I mean, how important is it for all websites, small or large, to understand the importance of securing their website? And what should they be doing to make sure that they don't fall victim to this?
You know, that's a difficult one. It is very important for people with websites to make sure they've secured their websites, but it's pretty hard for the home user to do who doesn't know anything about it.
Right.
And then what happens is you get to people doing the right thing, and that's having professionals host their websites. And the problem is if the professionals make a mistake, they might have several hundred or even thousands of hosted websites in a virtual server farm. And if they made a mistake, all of those sites can be compromised simultaneously. So it's really important, especially for people that host sites, to make darn sure that they've got good security and from time to time have external penetration testers testing their sites. If a company's going to host their own website, it's a good idea for them to have professional penetration testers from time to time check and see, you know, what the security of their site is, because a good website can turn bad very quickly if it gets hacked.
Now, do we know at this point at all what the hackers are doing with these compromised PCs? Are they just part of a botnet, or?
Actually, I'm not exactly sure on this hack what they're doing with it. I've got some of the code of the exploit in front of me. But typically what happens is they want to either sell you fake antivirus software and or take control of your computer, create a botnet
right.
out of your computer. And once they've installed the botnet on your computer, I mean, they can do anything they want. Today they could use it to send spam. Tomorrow they could use it for a distributed denial of service attack. They can use it to host illegal software. They can use it to steal your confidential information. So, I mean, the fact that they can exploit a vulnerability on your computer makes it irrelevant what they're trying to do today, because anybody can do all of these things all of the time if you're vulnerable that way.
Yeah, good point. I mean, I guess they have a lot of different options, you know, once that PC is infected. I guess, could you tell us a little bit, how can a website know if they've been attacked and if they've been victimized in part of this, you know, 40,000 plus websites that have been attacked? I mean, it's obviously at that number, it's very hard to contact them all. Is there anything that those website owners can do to see if they've been affected, or that PC users can do?
Well, one of the things that PC users can do is disable scripting, but that makes it pretty difficult to use most of the web. The most important thing for the PC users in this case is to make sure that all of their applications are current and up to date. You know, if they've got plugins for browsers, make sure it's most current, like the Adobe plugin for Firefox or for Internet Explorer, the Sun Java application, QuickTime plugins, anything like that, any plugins for the browsers, as well as the applications themselves, standalone applications like iTunes, Adobe Acrobat, Flash, all this stuff needs to be kept current and up to date. So that's the most important thing for the users to do. Website owners, what's really important is to know what you have on your website. I mean, there are examples of some of the code that appears on hacked websites that owners can look at and then search for that code on their website. But probably this is a really good example of where whitelisting is at its best, and that's understand what your website's supposed to look like and monitor it so that if it changes when it shouldn't change, it doesn't matter what the change is. Any change is bad in that case. And so be alert if it changed. I mean, there's programs that'll monitor that. If it changed, you got a problem.
Yep, absolutely. Very good point. It's always important, I guess, to be conscious of, you know, knowing where you're going and knowing what that page is supposed to look like.
Yeah, so, you know, if my house isn't where I left it, it doesn't matter if what someone was doing. I know there's a problem. So there's sometimes it just change alone is enough to flag a problem.
Absolutely. Good point. Well, thanks so much, Randy. Appreciate you taking some time to further explain this particular attack with us. And this is Matt Grant, and you've been listening to the Malware Report with Randy Abrams.